Good morning and welcome to Dateline New Haven. I'm your host, Paul Bass, inviting you to look behind the headlines on the stories that make New Haven tick. New Haven Promise makes New Haven tick, and Patricia Melton makes New Haven Promise tick. Along with hundreds of New Haven public school students each year who work hard and earn scholarships through this program to attend college. Patricia is in the WNHA studio today to give us an update about Promise and where we are in New Haven and helping our young people build bright futures. Joining her is one of the former Promise scholars, or I guess lifetime Promise scholars, I guess you're in for life, who now works at New Haven Promise and gives back, Georgia Lee's Casanova. And a special thanks to Yale New Haven Hospital for providing support for today's program. Welcome, folks. How you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have you. Patricia's an old hand at this, but Georgia Lee's, it's nice to have you here for the first time.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So, first thing we're going to ask you guys to do, you women to do, is to help me revisit an event I did not get to go to because I was out of town, but it sounds like I really missed something big. Thursday, August 17th at Southern Connecticut State University, you had hundreds of people with Promise Scholars coming for an annual event as they're about to go off to college. What was the event all about, Patricia?
This event every year is our celebration to honor and unveil the newest cohort of scholars and to honor their families that have all the families, school district personnel, community members, community organizations that have helped these students get the New Haven Promise Scholarship. So it's a celebration of all of those individuals and all of the community that has made it possible for them to qualify for the New Haven Promise Scholarship. We had roughly about 1,000 people there at the Lyman Center, where they, beautiful facility there at Southern Connecticut State University, and it was a who's who of New Haven.
It's also a chance, right, to have us celebrate something that we do well in New Haven. New Haven Promise, other cities have these too, these programs where they tell kids in our system as early as pre-K, and their parents, that if you keep a good B average once you're in high school, if you go to school all these years in New Haven Public School and do your work and show up, we're going to make sure you go to college.
Absolutely.
We're going to give you scholarships for state schools and I believe help for other schools as well.
Yes.
And that we're also going to, and one thing I love about Patricia Melton, as you have a personal story that dovetails with some of the people who get these scholarships, is you're in their lives. You help them once they're in college. Because we always talk about graduation rates, but we don't talk enough about people, once they get to college, do they stay in? Do they succeed? And I know from talking to you in the past, Patricia, and meeting some of the people through the program, that these people become part of the New Haven Promise life. It's actually a community. It's not just a check.
Correct.
And the other reason, I think one thing you were celebrating this year is that the program grew, right?
So it grew again.
So
We've grown the last couple of years.
Because the program has been around since 2012, is it?
2010.
So it's been 7 years we've been doing this. And each year, more and more people are getting these scholarships so they can go to college.
Absolutely.
How many people were you up to this year?
359.
So that's from the class of 2017.
Yes.
359 people went to college with the help. In a lot of cases, they get full scholarships, correct?
Not full scholarships. They get full tuition.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
So it's not room and board.
It's not room and board. It's not fees, but it's full tuition, which is still a nice nest egg to begin with.
Room and board ends up costing what usually in books?
Oh, I think it costs around $10,000, $12,000, wow. $10,000,
yeah. So are there still kids who get your scholarships and can't go to college?
Very few. I think here in New Haven, I mean, the wonderful thing here is that New Haven Promise is not the only scholarship in town. You have New Haven Scholarship Fund, which I know you know all about. That's been around for a number of years. Many of our students apply for New Haven Promise, New Haven Scholarship Fund, a number of different scholarships with the Community Foundation for Greater New Haven, like the Perillo Scholarship, a number of different scholarships. So our students here are able to benefit from a diverse funding of grants and scholarships and the federal grant, the Pell Grant. Many of our scholars are first to go to college in their family. They're low income, make under $60,000. Many of those students, all of them really are qualifying for Pell.
And those are grants, not loans.
Those are grants.
Because we're always hearing about how people get buried in these loans.
Well, that's the great thing about Promise and Promise programs across the country is it's able to reduce those loan obligations. And we have someone here who can talk to a real example because Jorge Lee's, who was a Promise Scholar, just graduated. You can talk to her about what that looked like at Albertus Magnus.
All right, so George Elise.
Spanish and English, though.
So. All right. So you grew up in New Haven, Georgia.
Yes, I did.
Do you prefer George Elise or Jorge Elise?
Either one is fine. I embrace my Latino heritage.
So. All right. So so you grew up, what part of New Haven did you grow up in?
I grew up in a Hill neighborhood.
What part?
Over on West Street was my K-8 life.
Where did you go?
I went to Truman.
Oh, Truman.
Yes.
Was that before it was rebuilt or after?
Both. So I spent a bit of time.
I was in both times, and boy, it's like two different planets.
Yes.
What did it make a difference to how you went to school? People always talk about how important it is that we rebuild schools or not.
Yes. So I do remember the old building a lot, but it was my primary grades. But I think the new environment really changed the way the students see, you know, their education. It's very important to keep that for students.
Did you go somewhere in between while they were fixing the school?
Yes. So I went to Conti.
So you had to be bused.
Yes. It was a long ride.
Was it when they were down in West Hills or when they moved to Worcester Square?
The West Hills.
Oh, so the old Conti.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that like, taking a bus as a kid across town to go to school when you could have had a place right down the street?
Well, for me, I didn't travel much because I was so into my academics. So it was kind of good to see the Edgewood part of New Haven and to see a little bit of the city that I haven't really witnessed before.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're very positive. I see a lot of sunshine coming in your face when you talk about stuff. Not everyone talks about school.
I love my city. I'm always positive
about
it.
Wonderful. And Jorge Elise, yeah, we love that. You know, did you walk to school from West Street?
No, I did not. But for some time, I did live on Lamberton, where I did walk to the school. It was 2 blocks away, so that was great.
How many blocks is West Street? Like 5?
Six for me. Mm-hmm.
So how did you had a bus come?
Yes, I did take a bus.
And so you went to Truman School, and where'd you go to high school?
I went to Connecticut Scholars Academy for a portion of my high school, and then I was
on the boulevard.
No, I actually went to the one over down the street by East Rock.
Oh, okay.
With their old
Lawrence
building.
Lawrence Street.
Yes.
Before they moved it.
Yes. Okay. And then I went over to MBA once Scholars Academy
MBA
was closed.
Is the Metropolitan Business Academy.
Correct.
Another new school. Did you go when they moved or before?
I went right after they opened the new building.
So you're a living example of kids who've gone to school, first of all, with how we rebuilt the infrastructure. We mm-hmm. built the buildings, and then someone who went to college with the help of Promise.
Absolutely.
When you were new, what was MBA like?
Well, it was a new building. So I'm very optimistic about my city, the district. I had a great experience. There were a really supportive staff there. They knew what I wanted. I knew what I wanted, and that
what did
really
you want?
Helped. So I was in a criminal justice pathway that MBA offers. And I knew that I wanted to go and study criminal justice sociology when I got to college. And that was a really helpful thing for my teachers, especially that senior year when I was doing an internship. I did it at the juvenile courthouse, and it was amazing.
Yeah, what was that like? Because none of us get to know what goes on there. It's kind of secret.
I worked with a social worker who works with adoption cases, and there were just these diverse cases, and these good ones and, of course, the negative ones. And that was really something new for me because I wanted to help, and this was my chance to see both sides of helping people. You know, there's the pros and there's the cons. And that's when I really grasped, like, what my career pathway would be like.
So that pathway took you to Albertus Magnus.
Yes, it did.
Did you always think you were going to college?
Yes, absolutely. My father passed away in fifth grade, and my mom was a single mother of six. And
wow.
I knew I wanted to college. I wanted to be the first one in my
Your mother
family
didn't go to college.
No.
What did she do for a living?
She used to work at a factory making the lenses for glasses, and then the factory was unfortunately moved to Japan.
Boy, toys talk about the story of America. Okay. And then what?
And then actually at the same time that I was applying to college, my mother was applying to Marrakesh in order to get her certification in human services. And that's what she's been doing ever since. She loves her job. She helps, rehabilitated people and, of course, special needs people. So
did you like having... It seems like the answer, whenever I say, did you like X, it's always a yes. Did you like growing up with 5 siblings?
Yes. I got to see kind of how each of us was different. And I think that's a really big root for me when I talk about what my next steps are in my career. So
excellent. So we're talking about how young people's lives are changed. The New Haven Promise, the scholarship program in New Haven that's been going great guns, growing at warp speed in New Haven, and we're talking with New Haven Promise's executive director, Patricia Melton. Is that the right title, Patricia?
President,
excuse me. And Georgia Lee's horse, Lisa Casanova, grew up in New Haven, benefited from New Haven Promise, and now works at New Haven Promise. And what I'm really getting a kick out of right now is just hearing your life story and how positive at every step. Because, you know, people like to whine about New Haven. I mean, we have real problems that we have to take on, but there's so much good here. And I hear so much of that in your voice.
There are so many opportunities. I think I was very fortunate to be able to focus on what I wanted to do early on. And of course, see a different side of New Haven that a lot of students don't really pinpoint until later on in high school. But there are so many opportunities, so many support systems.
So like when you were at Truman School and then MBA and first you went to Cross Scholars, was it your mom who helped you be a good student? Was it your mentors you had?
Surprisingly enough, and this was actually, I was one of the speakers at the celebration. I was a very troubled child. I spent a lot of time in school suspension, out of school suspension.
Really?
Independent study.
You weren't going around saying, I like this so much, I like that so much, the way you sound now.
I was very troubled. And it
was it from losing you? I mean, it's a tough thing losing your dad when you're fifth grade.
No, I think I struggled with my behavior issues early on. Later on, when my father did pass away, that absolutely intensified it. But I was fortunate enough to run into a great assistant administrator at Truman School who was actually new that year.
Who was that?
Idris Trotman, Mr. Trotman at Truman School. And he's still there. And one day he pulled me in his office after I did a very bad behavior issue in our class. And he said, your father would not want this from you. And I knew that was true. And
what did that feel like when he said that?
Well, it pulled me back. I don't know if you ever had that feeling of when a word triggers you back.
And so, to me, it feels like a slap in the face. Like I stop, say, holy cow.
I think it was a moment of where I was just like, I see the effect of my behavior. Before then, I didn't really care about the effect of my behavior. And Mr. Chapman was just like, he saw potential in me that I didn't see in myself. And that really, we established a plan. Sixth grade, I came in, and I had a new focus in my education. Education became a home for me. It was this kind of like vacation from other things that were going on in my life. So,
School was sort of a sanctuary.
Yeah, it was. And I enjoyed every minute of it. I really got devoted to my education, and I saw it as a exit from a lot of the things that I saw. So,
like in your neighborhood,
yeah, absolutely.
Truman School was in a pretty tough neighborhood back in those days.
It was.
No, I just remember the few blocks right from the school. There was some lots of great stuff going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Did it affect you as a kid?
I think that was one of the reasons why my mother didn't allow me to walk when we lived in West Street. But then when we moved to Lamberton.
Points for mom.
Yeah. She was absolutely always out to protect us and make sure that
so
we were doing
anything
right.
So you talked about how important education was to you starting in sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
The word college, when did that get nestled in your brain?
Oh God. I would say eighth grade. So part of my plan at Truman School with Mr. Trotman was that I would get to help Carmen, who was the clerk there, and she still is the clerk there as well. So she's seen me grow up.
There's some continuity at Truman. Okay.
Yeah. So I was able to help her after school. She was the only clerk there. And I really enjoyed that part of it. I enjoyed learning new skills. And I was learning all of these clerical duties that I didn't get experience to. And she would ask me, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? And we would talk about these options. And we would primarily talk about the education system. And now looking back at it, I'm going into the education system. So it's kind of coincidental that she kind of understood that there was also more for me. And that really created a positive environment.
So what
that
year
I
would you have graduated eighth grade?
I graduated in 2008.
So there was not yet a New Haven Promise.
No.
So then when you went to Mitch Pearl's Business Academy, that's when there was a New Haven Promise.
Yes.
And that, so I guess for that first group, Patricia Melton, they weren't yet going to be able to benefit from having been all 12 years, right? It got phased in the first few years.
Right. That first group got very little money. They got 25% of the benefit, which means it means that in Horley's, what did you get 25%?
I was 75%.
Oh.
2013.
Mm-hmm. She was second year.
So third year.
Third year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this year is significant for us because we have just reached full implementation, which means all of the classes now on the college campus are getting 100% of the benefit. So it's taken 7 years for us to come to full implementation.
All right. So, Jorge-Lise, you're there at MBA.
Mm-hmm.
And this, what did you first hear about New Haven Promise? Because there was a lot of attention nationally. Did you hear about it at your high school?
I did hear about it. There was actually a picture that I looked back in our office. It's a picture of the first 2014 class. And I remember seeing that in the register. I'm like, this is when they were announcing that New Haven Promise was going to happen. And I see those students who are now scholars, and it's kind of impressive to see their picture from when it was announced.
Because you were thinking already about college, starting with Carmen in the office in Truman School, and you're still liking school.
Yes.
Still a haven.
I want to go back.
Oh, wow. Sweet.
I want to keep further in my education.
But not many of us think that way. I'll go back to school. That's more about social things. But anyway, so you're in high school. Mm-hmm. You're talking about New Haven Promise. You said you want to apply for it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What difference did it make in your ability to go to college?
So I remember my senior year, I was kind of one of the Promise ambassadors, and I was helping my peers learn about New Haven Promise. So that's one of the things that helped. But when I touched the grounds of college, not only did it make it more affordable, because I was going through this process on my own. My mom knew nothing about the college process. I was learning.
First, as you said, you were going to be the first in your family to go to college.
Yep, absolutely. And I was able to drop loans 3 semesters in a row, thanks to New Haven Promise.
Drop loans mean pay them off?
No, drop loans as in I didn't decline them from the school. Oh. So I didn't need those loans. I was not going to take loans that I didn't need. And that's one thing that I think is very important for students to know, when to take loans and when not to take loans. If you don't need it, don't take
that. Then they dig you in that hole with those.
Well, we all know that freshman students are offered $7,500 in loans. Even if they don't need it.
And from whom?
From the institution. So their financial aid package will tell
Albertus
them.
Oh, from Albertus Magnus.
Yes. So their financial aid will tell them whether or not they would like to approve or decline loans. And I would often say, I'll approve some and I'll decline this one. And they would let the loan know that I was not going to be accepting it. So that was great.
All right. So you went, now Albertus Magnus, am I right to assume you went there because of criminal justice? You wanted to go into criminal justice?
I went to their criminal justice camp summer before my senior year, and I fell in love with the school.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's so sweet.
Those summer programs. I hope our college presidents are listening. Those summer programs
make
on their campuses make a big difference.
Make a huge difference. I think it's great.
Tells you what's possible when you get older. Mm-hmm. So, Jorge-Lise, you went to... But then you wanted to study criminal justice, but you ended up going into criminal justice. Tell me about that.
No, I actually did criminal justice and sociology, and I followed more of my sociology pathway, and that's how I got here into New Haven Promise. My freshman year of college, actually, I received a call from Patricia.
Patricia had come. What year did you come, Patricia? Was it 2012?
2012. It was that year.
And you really, and it was still young there. And you really have taken New Haven Promise to all these new levels. So you got a call.
Absolutely.
That's just, you got a call. Why did you get a call from Patricia? Patricia, why are you calling?
The summer after I graduated high school, I was still volunteering. I had completed 100 hours of community service.
That's part of Promise. So get a Promise scholarship.
Well, Promise only asked me for 40. I had already graduated high school with 100. So I already knew I was getting Promise, but I was still out in a community volunteering. And Patricia's very impressed, and she was asking me what I was doing. And I was working, long hours at Stop and Shop, and of course, still being committed to my community.
Okay, here's a question. Did you like working at Stop and Shop?
I actually did.
See, I love this about you. Okay. You like people. You like being busy.
I love people. I love learning new things. I'm a learner.
A great attitude for life to succeed. I don't see how you're not going to succeed in life if you can find the positive in every experience. Patricia, why were you calling? You were pretty new at New Haven Promise. You had hundreds of kids to deal with from every class. Mm-hmm. You're seeing this kid who's fulfilled her requirements. So you didn't need to call her and say, you need to do more volunteering, because she's already more than doubled the amount she had to do. What made you pick up a phone and call Jorge-Lise?
Well, I had a conversation. I'm out in the community a lot. And I was at, I think, the Dwight, what was that?
It's the Dwight Family Festival.
Which is held over there.
DCMT.
August, is it?
It's held over at Achievement
it's
First.
Achievement First, the middle school over on Edgewood.
And there was Jorge-Lise behind. She had just gotten a scholarship, and she was doing more community service hours still. And I said, what are you doing here? I love my community. I love giving back. Well, that stuck in my head. So when I had that conversation with her, what is she doing? And she said she was working at Stop and Shop. That's great. But when she told me she was working lots of hours, I said, that's not so great. Because carrying a full-time load, the average student maybe works 10, 15 hours. And that means that if she were working that many hours, she was probably going to jeopardize her GPA.
Interesting.
So I said to her, well, send me your resume. I knew we needed some help in the office. And we made a deal. I said, you come work for Promise. And you'll learn a lot about, obviously, college, and she'll be able to help her peers and whatnot. And I said, we will pay you a decent wage, and I expect you to work one job. That job will be for us. We will pay you so that you will only have to work one job.
And how many hours?
She actually ended up working 25 hours.
Instead of 40.
Instead of 40.
So you were able to pay her almost twice as much as a union job.
Well, how much does the union job pay? I don't know.
What did they pay you at Stop and Shop?
It was, I believe, $9.25 at that time.
That's
because
all?
I was there for quite some time. I was there my entire
United
senior
Food
year.
United Food and Commercial Workers, I thought they'd depend on that. Because, I mean, the state minimum wage now is $10.10.
Yeah, well, now. That was 2012.
So you were able to pay her better than $9.25 an hour?
Quite a bit.
Okay. That's so interesting, Patricia, that you were able to identify that. You saw this promising person. We haven't promised, promising scholar, working so hard, having a positive attitude, but you saw a danger sign.
Well,
and you made a difference,
you know, that
in her
comes
ability
from
to
my
succeed.
History. That comes from having been the first in my family to go to college, not being able to. You know, I see it all the time. Students who work are trying to work 30, even 40 hours. I mean, that's obscene that a student thinks that they could work 40 hours and then go to school full time. And something's got to give in that equation, and it's usually their GPA or dropping down less than a full-time course load. And that means their scholarship will be jeopardized because most scholarships you have to be enrolled full time. So, you know, I wanted to have a scholar in the office because that scholar is a connection. We should be modeling what we expect others to model, which is to invest back into our young people. When they go to college, that's just the beginning of the journey. So many families feel that, great, my child got into college, they can sit, they can rest, they don't have to do anything. No, this is the next chapter, and there are lots of things that have to be checked off to be able to realize the investment that we're making in that scholar.
That's
so that's how we ended
and
up.
I'm sorry, what year
it.
Was this when you went to that fair? Is it 2013?
Summer of 2013.
So it was before you started your freshman year?
Yes.
Okay. And so after that, what did she come to do in the office?
Well, what did you do, Jorge?
I was a program assistant for New Haven Promise. So I did work closely with the universities. I worked with my university in trying to make sure that students were, of course, reaching out and being exposed to college culture. So I also worked in the New Haven public schools. I enjoyed working with students and kind of teaching them. So I was a wise counsel for students who needed to know the college application process, financing college. There's just so many things that go into getting to college, through college, and then coming back. So
and
I was
Patricia,
sure
you
that
said
was
you noticed the way that GPA could be the first to suffer if it's too many hours. When
Absolutely.
You were in college, did you have loans, grants? What was your deal when you went to Yale?
I definitely had loans, but I think the biggest thing is, you know, I was financially independent. Very few students are financially independent, but I was one of those few unicorn students. That's not a blessing. It was sort of a curse.
What does that mean, financially
it
independent?
It means that my family was not helping me. I was emancipated when I went to Yale my freshman year. And as you know, Yale requires every student to have a self-help portion. Because I was supporting myself, trying to support myself, I wasn't living with family or anything. I was an adult in every way. When I came back to school, I did not have any money that was saved up to contribute to my education. So I was on bursar's hold every year. Every semester, as a matter of fact, because I could never dig out of.
And you had to pay to live.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
Did you have a job?
I usually
How'd you
because
get income?
Because I was an athlete and I had minimal hours, because I was an athlete trying to make it through. I always try to solidify and strengthen my academics by going to programs where you weren't making a salary, but you were doing things like taking chemical engineering or taking physics or, you know, something like that. So, you know, in that sense, I was not able to sort of make any money, but I was able to advance my education.
But how'd you pay your rent and get food?
Well, I often had scholarships for these special high quality summer programs.
Okay.
So, but I didn't have anything left over.
But I mean, from your personal story, you said you noticed something when you met Horalise, that you noticed there was this person who was in danger of having too many work hours to keep up her GPA. You said you knew that from your story?
I knew that from my story and just from all the work that I've done before, working with College Access and my early college work out in the Midwest. So, you know, this wasn't anything new. I've seen it time and time and time again. One of the number one reasons that students drop out is because they run out of money. The financial aid package, there's more expectation on upperclassmen, juniors and seniors. I don't know if you had financial aid when you went to Yale, but one of the things that I think is not unique to Yale, but it's across the entire nation, is many colleges stack their financial aid packages in the freshman year to attract students to the campus. But then as they get to the sophomore, junior, and senior year, that aid is reduced. And so it's not uncommon. That is the number one reason that students drop out, is because they run out of money.
Wow. You went to Albertus Magnus, or at least, and
yes,
you were studying criminal justice sociology. You're working 25 hours a week at New Haven Promise.
It varied each semester because my education came first, as Patricia said.
So how many hours around would you work?
Oh, never over 25.
But sometimes less.
Yes.
And then you graduated 2017?
Yes, I just graduated this May.
Congratulations.
Thank
and you were cum laude?
Cum laude, yes. Oh. And I was in an honors program as well, so
way
I completed the honors program.
Wow, awesome. But you didn't go work in the criminal justice system?
No, I didn't.
Tell me about that decision.
So one of the things that I was able to determine with the help of New Haven Promise and, of course, other mentors, was that I wanted to go into the field of education. And so New Haven Promise extended their time with me, and I'm applying to the Graduate School of Southern in order to get my master's in education and hopefully become a bilingual educator in New Haven Public Schools.
Boy, are they needed. Boy, I'll tell you, I can't imagine that job will ever disappear. It's not like your mom's factory job, unfortunately. It seems that, I know there's a shortage that recently New Haven Public Schools went to Puerto Rico to try to lure teachers here because we don't have enough people for bilingual programs. So are you working full-time at New Haven Promise now?
Yes, I am.
And when do you hope to be going to Southern?
Well, I am currently setting up the meeting so that I can meet with someone and make sure that my applications are set, but I'm hoping to enroll the next semester.
Starting January.
Yes.
Well, good luck, and we'll see you in New Haven schools.
Yes.
And we are talking about New Haven Schools College with New Haven Promise, New Haven's landmark program that helps all kids who do their work and show up to school in New Haven Public Schools to get assistance and sometimes full ride with tuition to state universities and colleges. It's in its seventh year.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we're now up to 359 people in the last class got scholarships. Patricia Melton, you run the program. That was 75% growth in 3 years. Now, that'd be a big number if it was your first year. If it was your first year or second year, it wouldn't be a huge number. I mean, you're getting off the ground. 7 years in to be growing at that kind of clip. Why is that happening?
That is happening. One, I believe we have done a very consistent job with the help of the mayor and others who do this work, the school district. We have a great partnership with the school district, really messaging what Promise is. If you come to school, in other words, you have to show up. You can't get good grades if you're not there. You give to your city. You have some sweat equity. You understand that this is a city that cares about you. Then you get good grades, you will have this benefit, and you're dedicated to the city because you do need to live in the city. You will have this benefit. Parents and students, and you have to understand that first couple cohorts, many of those scholars also have younger siblings. So they're coming up through the system. We have a nice ecology here, and we have a lot of people to help us to get out the message. The families and the students that have been coming for the last 4 years, they've heard this message to, through, and back. College Access, all of our activities in the elementary and the middle school and the high school level. We follow our students over a trajectory. So we watch them grow up. We know their families. We know their alders. We know all these things about them. I don't know if you remember when you went to school, maybe your family remember you going to college, but did you have an entire city watching your, no. Whereas Jorge's and many of the scholars, they are very connected to the city. So I think that messaging has been very successful. But in addition, you know, families are able to tell their stories of real dollars that are making a difference. We're right there when those bills go out. We work directly with the financial aid offices and the bursar's office. And so this is real. This is all work that goes on behind the scenes that not a lot of people see. But the buzz is already there. Promise is real. It's not a pipe dream. It's real. And we're making a difference. In addition, we've enhanced the programming by adding internships, paid internships, internship programs.
Summer, right?
Absolutely. But we now actually have internships that stretch throughout the year. So, you know, Jorge's is a great example of that. We started with her in our office. And so we now have community organizations and organizations in general that are asking us, hey, we would love to have an intern or have a student work here throughout the year. A good example would be Elms City Market. As you know, Lynn Simon is very involved. The Simon family is very involved. It's no longer co-op, but it's still locally owned. And there are a lot of people invested in making sure that market is successful. Well, they have approached us about, you know, looking at our scholar pool. And we have, you know, 150, almost 200 scholars over at Southern. We have several over at Albertus Magnus, University of New Haven. We have a good number, Quinnipiac. These are all folks who, like Jorge's, they need to contribute to their education. So there's a marketing position or there's, you know, any number of positions. Well, that's sort of the perfect example of how we can invite everyone in to help our scholars through. So our families know about all these, this enhanced programming, which is about making sure that not only do we contribute in terms of the scholarship, but we then help our students to launch their careers, to get that valuable experience they need to be hired as soon as they step out of the college, as soon as they graduate. And so we've been doing that work and we have incredible opportunities. We had a scholar from some of our work with Quinnipiac Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. We had a scholar who went to Ireland for a week to work with a company that's trying to launch their product in the U.S., SureWash. And so he has just come back. Now he's looking for a job. He's a marketing major, and he's going to be coming to see us right after this interview to help him with his resume. And so we can connect him to these things. It's these types of benefits that we are able to offer to entice these scholars coming out of New Haven Public Schools, that we have something for you. And so if you look through our scholar celebration booklet, you'll see many stories written by our scholars about that they wanted to leave New Haven, and they were thanking their mothers and their families and their mentors for convincing them to stay here, because now they're off on their careers and doing things that they had dreamed they would be doing, but now it's a reality. Those are the stories that are starting to get out.
That's great. Now, the Community Foundation of Greater New Haven and Yale University fund this program.
Yes, and Yale New Haven Hospital.
And Yale New Haven Hospital.
Yes.
Is the part of the reason it's growing, has the amount of money being given to the program growing?
Yes, I would say that that is growing. I mean, if this year we will disperse about $3 million in scholarship, and that number will continue to grow, to go up. So to date, we've probably dispersed, well, last year was about $6 million. We're moving upwards about $8
million. Wait, I'm sorry, $3 million or $8
million? $8 million overall.
From the beginning of the program, this year,
close to $3 million this year,
okay.
this fall and this spring when we disperse that amount.
All right.
So we'll have, this is the largest cohort that we've ever had. You know, we'll have a good number of scholars, you know, sitting in all sorts of classes. And we do recognize the students who go out of state. They do not get the tuition benefit, but they can participate in the internship benefit. So I just saw the person who came out, Maya Akbar, and one of our scholars was working in an internship in the incubator over at Quinnipiac. And his name is Ramon Brown. He's at Tufts, but he was able to get an internship through us and worked on a project that he's led working with her. And that's a locally owned business. So this really is an economic development model you know, our scholars are here. We want the first shot at them. Why shouldn't we have the first shot? We're investing all these dollars. We should be able to entice our scholars to stay here over a Boston, and
I've been to New York City.
I've
been to the fair you do for the high schoolers who are going to be in promise with the summer internships and the college students, and I see just every major institution in town just about there, and how they're eager to get sort of the most promising young people into their systems too.
Absolutely. This year, there was an explosion and expansion on the internship side. We nearly doubled our internships. Over at Yale, we placed 72 scholars in internships alone. This is the fourth year we've been doing the paid internships, but we were also able to get pilots off the ground with New Haven Public Schools for their educator pipeline. Sure, they can go to Puerto Rico, but we have over 700 scholars right here in schools, right, you know, here in the state, plus any number of other scholars. And we feel that we should be a pipeline. And so we did, through the generosity of Dr. Reggie Mayo, who, of course, he was one of the founding visionaries of Promise. You know, we had 12 scholars working in New Haven Public Schools this summer. We had probably about eight or so working in the city, City Hall. We had nine over at Quinnipiac in their Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. We had 72, and we had 12, no, close to 14 working at Yale New Haven Hospital, of which 10 of them were all in nursing. Now, that's a shortage area, nursing. And so it was really very exciting to have these other institutions step up, which is, you know, we're really at the phase now where we need all these employers. You know, it is a war for talent out there. And obviously, that's what's going to distinguish us as a city from other cities, because we're investing in education, but we will be able to retain that talent here to grow our economy.
Patricia Melton, you ran a program like Promise before you came here. Where was that again?
In Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. How many of these programs are there in this country in various forms?
The Promise program, I would have to say there are probably in its purest form, which is a very comprehensive model, the way we run ours, is probably about 20 or 30. But in various iteration, you know, maybe it's just a scholarship and whatnot, probably well over 100. I mean, it's really grown.
And go to conferences with others in your cohort?
Yes, we do. We hosted the PromiseNet conference here in the fall of October of 2014. The next Promise conference is coming up in Kalamazoo, which is where it all started. But we will be hosting sort of a mini invitation only economic development conference in terms of the impact of Promise in the fall of 2018. And Yale
Excellent.
School of Management, Yale SOM, will be hosting that with us in 2018.
Is there something distinctive about New Haven Promise compared to the rest of your cohort? Do we do anything different?
I think we do.
Horgan-Lise, you're nodding your head. What do you see?
Horgan-Lise, what do we do differently?
Absolutely. I think just the way we're in the schools, it's absolutely different. The way that we follow the students through is absolutely different. I don't think I would be where I am today if I didn't have the mentoring that I had from New Haven Promise. And that's very important for students, especially students who are fresh generation or students who are still finding their way around. That's something that helps any student. And I think New Haven Promise has been a key component of how I build my pathway. So.
We talked about how Patricia Melton, when she first met you at that fair, and you said you're earning how much again at Stop and Shop? Nine?
About $9.25.
So how she noticed right away something that she could do through New Haven Promise to help you succeed in college. Were there other examples of mentoring you got from New Haven Promise that helped you succeed?
Yes, career-wise. One of the things is absolutely being a first-generation student in college is you don't know how to really navigate through some tough situations when you're in college. Mm-hmm. And of course, when you're thinking about after college, you're in college and a lot of students aren't thinking after college. So that's something that was brought to my attention. It's like, so what's next for you? And initiating
that conversation.
That all
started with Carmen in Truman School. What's going to be next when you were only in sixth grade? Right?
Yeah, but solidifying it and having an actual plan a solid plan is really helpful for
students. So what I'm hearing is that as adults, we need to tell young people, we need to ask them what's next. Sounds like it's a very good question to
ask. It's very important to
ask. Is what's next a common question asked by your cohort, Patricia Melton?
Well, I don't think they ask it, but what we do is we say the message, for instance, at the Scholar Celebration, I kept my remarks very brief, but I said, if we do not have your resume uploaded, please go home tonight and upload your resume, because after you finish your freshman year, you're going to need a job. Mm-hmm. You're going to need a summer job, because that college is expecting you to make $3,000 to $5,000 over the summer. Yes. Our scholars will make probably more, except for the exception would be a couple of colleges where they will get more in scholarship. But on average, our scholars will make more working in their paid internship over the summer than they will actually get scholarship dollars from us. So if you ask Jorge Lee's, just would you like to share total in aggregate what you made working at Promise?
It has been, last year was 28,000 for the entire year. Yes, part time.
And that includes full time during the summer.
And then the internship in the summer. Yes.
And now you're full time.
Yes.
Okay.
So when we look and see what are the revenue sources that colleges are expecting a student to bring to the table, where there is that expectation, there is no such thing. I don't like to say full ride, because that gets people thinking entitlement. I do not have to do anything. I just need to sit back and what have you. There's no free ride in this country. You know, it's still, there are very generous opportunities out there to be had. You know, New Haven Promise is something that needs to be protected for every generation in this city. And so, you know, but what we say is we make college affordable, not free. And as soon as we say that, not free, but I thought it was free. No, it's not free. There is a part that you have to play and that you are expected to play from us, from the colleges, to contribute to your education. The only thing that is, you know, when you, and I think this is really a shift that's very hard for families to make, because you can move into the city and, you know, in the middle of the year, take your child to New Haven Public Schools and enroll them. You don't have to pay any money. You don't have to provide any books. You don't have to do anything. And that's a huge mind shift when it comes to college, because that mentality is continued. And then folks are caught off guard and surprised when, in fact, the bill comes for college, and there is a bill that does come. So that's a new concept. It comes in July, and it's expecting you to pay $8,000. And all this time you were thinking that Promise was going to pay for all of that. No, Promise is not going to pay for all of that. You are expected to make some contribution. And that means that your child is expected to work in the summer, save up their money, work during the school year. You know, everybody has a part to play. So we do a lot of educating of parents and the community in general what our roles are. We have a role to play, but you have a role as well. And if we work together, you will get to the end, which is the graduation, with minimal loans, so that you can come out and get a job, you can get an apartment, you can get a car, you can do those things that really drive the engine of our economy.
Wow. Well, I get so inspired every time you come to this studio, Patricia Melton, and you bring in someone like Jorge Lee's today, who just make you feel so good about living in New Haven, about the next generation. And keep up the great work in New Haven Promise.
Thank you.
Any parting words? Any changes coming up in the plan?
I would say the city's going to hear a lot more from our scholars. At this point, we've set a great foundation, but it's really now time for our young people, that next group of leaders, to come back. And they're already there. They're working in full-time jobs. They're giving back to the city. We're going to let them start doing some of the heavy lifting, and we couldn't be prouder of them and more excited about what's to come.
We need them. We need you, Laura.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you.
Laura Lee's on our Casanova on our program. Thank you, Patricia Melton, both from New Haven Promise, one of New Haven's all-star organizations. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks to Yale New Haven Hospital for providing support for today's program. We're going to take it out with the Afro-Semitic Experience, performing I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free from the group CD, A Plea for Peace. Now, we know what it's like to be free. We just got to remember to book our flight. Please book your flight with us all day and all night long here at WNHH Radio, New Haven's home for community radio.